Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 84 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Arlo Barnett.
You know, we're just trying our best to get the information out. You just don't know what you're taking.
A string of overdoses has left two dead in Rowan County.
A lack of flood insurance may hurt some flood victims in Maysville.
President Trump is promising a huge announcement at tonight's rally in Huntington.
In sports, the Reds look to sweep the Pirates tonight in Pittsburgh.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Tonight we'll have partly cloudy skies, lows around 68. A complete look at that weather forecast after this news.
Rowan County is dealing with another series of drug overdoses. County Sheriff's Department Chief Deputy Joe Klein says about half dozen people have OD'd in the last few days as a result of the opioid use, with two of them dying. Klein says he isn't certain what drug or drugs caused those incidents. He's still waiting for toxicology results.
Without knowing a lot of the circumstances, if it's the person's first try at it and they just get a large dose of maybe heroin, or if it's being laced with something. We've also been experiencing a revised rise in meth, methamphetamines that's been trafficked in the area.
Both 47-year-old Alan Hanschel of Clearfield and 22-year-old Seth Taylor of Moorhead died last weekend after overdosing. Klein says there have been 10 to 12 overdose incidents in counties near Rowan in the last few days. He notes many drug users have no idea of the ingredients in what they are taking.
Rowan Judge Executive Walter Blevins thinks the county's new needle exchange program is going well. The Gateway Area District Health Department initiated the program earlier this year after receiving approval to do so late last year from both the Moorhead City Council and the Rowan Fiscal Court. Its goal is to stop the spread of diseases like hepatitis C and HIV. Blevins is a member of the Health Department's Board of Directors.
People down there are very encouraged that they're doing some good for these people. They're trying to educate them. I think there were 42 clients, and they said all of them were from Rowan County. That's a lot of people hooked on drugs right now, and there's probably maybe 10 times that, perhaps. But a lot of people don't want to go and identify themselves as having a problem, so they get their friend to go take their needles.
Drug users can initially get up to 200 clean needles from the Gateway Area Health Department. They will then get a new needle for every used needle they turn back in. They must also undergo drug counseling.
A doctor and University of Pikeville professor is facing charges of assault and terroristic threatening. According to WKYT, Dr. Peter Zajac allegedly stabbed his girlfriend in the shoulder and threatened to cut her neck Tuesday night. Court documents say Zajac also spat on and cursed at the woman. The University of Pikeville released a statement saying the doctor has been placed on suspension pending completion of the investigation.
Trial begins tomorrow for a Fleming County man accused of assaulting a woman. According to the Maysville Ledger-Independent, 30-year-old Marcus Harrison of Ewing is facing charges of second-degree assault, first-degree wanton endangerment, and first-degree unlawful imprisonment following an alleged incident in late March. Fleming County Circuit Court records say Harrison punched and whipped an unnamed woman while holding her at knife point. He's also accused of pouring lighter fluid over her head and threatening to set her on fire. Harrison is housed in the Mason County Detention Center.
Two Ashland men are facing drug trafficking charges. MSPR's Kyle Blankenbuehler reports.
According to the Daily Independent, undercover Boyd County Sheriff's deputies arrested 36-year-old James Mullins and 22-year-old Danny Cantrell on Tuesday evening during a sting operation in front of Fairview Elementary School. Authorities say they seized between 2 and 4 grams of heroin, money, and drug paraphernalia. Boyd Sheriff Bobby Jack Woods reports the officers transported the potent drugs back to the office with caution. Mullins and Cantrell were booked in the Boyd County Detention Center around midnight. Reporting for Moorhead State Public Radio News, I'm Kyle Blankenbuehler.
A former public health dentist at the University of Kentucky says he was fired for publicly criticizing Republican Governor Matt Bevin's plan to overhaul the state's Medicaid program. Raynor Mullins was a faculty member at the university's College of Dentistry. He lost his job on June 30th after more than 40 years with the university. Wednesday, Mullins filed a federal lawsuit against two university officials and an unknown member of Bevin's administration. He said the three conspired to punish him for publicly criticizing Bevin's plan to overhaul the Medicaid program. A University of Kentucky spokeswoman declined to comment. Bevin spokeswoman Amanda Stamper said neither Bevin nor anyone else in his office knows Mullins. She said both Mullins and his attorney support Bevin's political rival, Democratic Attorney General Andy Beshear.
Most of Maysville's flood victims do not have flood insurance. That's according to the city's top official. Mayor David Cartmell says that until a state of emergency is declared for the flood event at a national level, those without insurance cannot get aid.
The EPA has been here and Kentucky Emergency Management, everybody but FEMA. And I mean, you know, I don't know that we will meet the threshold for aid. On the public side, I think we probably will, but on the business side, on the Commonwealth side, I don't know that we will.
Cartmell says most of the businesses affected by water do have flood insurance.
Fleming County Superintendent Brian Kreisman says his district will start classes next Thursday, as scheduled. Kreisman says district officials had been mulling over pushing back the start of the fall semester after high winds from a July 23rd storm caused damage to the roof of Flemingsburg Elementary.
It lifted edges of the roof up, but not the roof completely. And therefore, I think what we're going to be able to do instead of replacing the whole roof is just do some substantial repair work to where the canopy, took part of the roof with it.
Kreisman says officials from the Fleming school system are working with the district's insurance carrier to determine an exact cost to fix the roof damage at Flemingsburg Elementary. He hopes to get that estimate back in 2 to 3 weeks.
The city of Olive Hill is looking to strengthen building code enforcement. With more, here's MSPR's Sean Delaney.
Olive Hill used to rank in the 80th percentile in terms of building safety. Now, though, they rank in the mid-30s. According to the Journal Times, city officials changed the position of code enforcement officer to a full-time position to combat the change. Taylor Duncan is the man in charge. He's got his eyes on several local structures that qualify for demolition, including the former Lykins Insurance Building, Aikens Hall, and the former People's Bank on Railroad Street. For Morehead State Public Radio News, I'm Sean Delaney.
According to one official, once the funding component is completed, plans will move forward to build a new alumni welcome center on Morehead State University's campus. Rick Linio is MSU's Assistant Vice President for Facilities Management. He says the school is trying to finish raising the needed $4 to $5 million in private funds for the project. He notes there's already a blueprint in place for the 15,000-square-foot, two-story structure.
It's a very simple.
MSU's new Alumni Welcome Center will be constructed on the corner of University
Boulevard.
Building
in respect to construction, and you know, it features a nice tower that kind of stands very prominent as you pull into the main part of the campus. Meets our traditional collegiate Gothic look with the brick and limestone, as you see in most of our buildings now.
The new Alumni Welcome Center will be constructed on the corner of University Boulevard and East Main Street. A parking lot is currently located at that site.
The city of Huntington, West Virginia, is preparing for this evening's rally for President Donald Trump. According to WSAZ, thousands of Trump fans from all around the country are expected to attend. Self-described superfan Gene Huber camped out overnight for his seventh Trump rally. He has advice for first-time attendees.
I recommend you get here maybe 4 to 6 hours early because, number one, you're going to have a great spot online, but number two, you're just going to see the love with everybody.
Doors opened at the Big Sandy Superstore Arena at 4 p.m. The rally begins at 7 this evening.
President Trump plans to make a very big announcement tonight during his speech in Huntington, West Virginia. Trump is scheduled to speak at 7 p.m. today at the Big Sandy Superstore Arena. He's due to take his first extended vacation tomorrow from Washington since his inauguration. A 17-day getaway to his private golf club in central New Jersey, namely, his vacation could be driven in part by necessity. Everyone who works in the White House West Wing will be forced to clear out by week's end so that the government can replace its nearly three-decade-old heating and cooling system. Workers are expected to labor around the clock to complete those and other upgrades by August 21st.
Over 200 Eastern Kentucky coal workers will be out of work next month. According to WYMT, Booth Energy filed a notice with the Kentucky Career Center on Wednesday. 217 workers in Martin, Johnson, and Floyd counties will be impacted. The notice lists Matrix Mine No. 1, Eagle Mine No. 25, the Pinnacle Preparation Plant, Mine Supply Sales, Coal Transportation Services, and Mining Support Services as being affected. It's not clear how many workers will be able to retain employment.
The Country Music Hall of Fame and Museum is opening an exhibit on the life and career of Hall of Famer Loretta Lynn in Nashville this month. Loretta Lynn, Blue Country Girl, opens August 25th and runs through August 5th of 2018. The museum said in a news release, highlights include Lynn's original handwritten manuscript for her 1970 hit Coal Miner's Daughter, the microphone used at her first recording session, some of her dresses, and the sewing machine she used to make her early stage clothes. The 85-year-old singer-songwriter suffered a stroke in May and is recovering at home following a stay at a rehabilitation facility. She said in a statement from the museum, she's excited about the exhibit displaying her more than 50 years in country music.
A Kentucky prosecutor says state charges against a man accused of placing glass shards in cups that were to be sent to restaurants has been dismissed so that federal charges may proceed. The Glasgow Daily Times cited a statement from the Hart County Commonwealth's Attorney's Office, which said the charges against Waylon Horton of Munfordville were dismissed on Tuesday so that a federal case could move forward without interference. The charges were dismissed without prejudice, meaning they can be refiled. Horton had faced 139 counts of first-degree wanton endangerment and 139 counts of possession of a destructive device in state court. In federal court, he is charged with one count of consumer product tampering. Horton has pleaded not guilty. U.S. Attorney spokeswoman Stephanie Collins says a trial date hasn't been set.
A teenage girl in Kentucky was struck and killed by a tree that was supporting a hammock she was sitting in. WCPO-TV reports Captain Steve Lump of the Fort Thomas Fire Department says the 15-year-old girl was sitting with a friend on a hammock that was tied between two trees on Tuesday evening. One of the trees fell on the 15-year-old, killing her instantly. The second girl wasn't hurt. Police haven't released the victim's name. Authorities described the tree as old. It's unclear what caused it to collapse. A vigil is planned for Wednesday morning at Highlands High School, where the teen was set to attend this fall. Turning now to a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening region. Tonight, we'll have partly cloudy skies, lows around 68 degrees. Tomorrow, an 80% chance of thunderstorms blows in, highs around 80 degrees. Tomorrow night, a 20% chance of rain, cooler with lows in the mid-50s. On Saturday, at the beginning of our weekend, sunny skies, highs in the upper 70s. That night, it'll be partly cloudy, lows around 59. On Sunday, mostly cloudy, highs around 83. That night, a 60% chance of showers and thunderstorms, lows in the mid-60s. And on Monday, the rain continues, a 60% chance of scattered thunderstorms, highs around 77. It is currently 84 degrees here in Moorhead. You are listening to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. I'm Arlo Barnett here with Leanne Akers. and we're glad you're with us on this Thursday evening. On our feature segment, the folks who created Rudy Fest will host a new bluegrass festival starting today. Leanne has the story.
Perched on the rolling hills of Fleming County, the Mandolin Farms Bluegrass Festival kicked off Thursday afternoon. Organizer Leroy Walker says the event has been a full year in the making.
We set up a meeting last year with Willie Gerald, the owner of Mandolin Farm, and came over and made an agreement with him to let Rudy Fest present Mandolin Farm. And he was really excited about letting our group come over and host the event and present it for him, and we're real excited about it.
After flash floodwaters ruined Rudy Fest in June, Walker says folks who attend the Mandolin Farms Festival won't need to worry about water.
Our Mandolin Farm Festival is way up on a hill, and it's got good, nice gravel roads through it, a covered pavilion for everyone to sit under out of the shade, shade trees all around a lot of the campers, a permanent shower house, permanent bathrooms. He's got a really nice facility here.
Walker is expecting a smaller crowd for this event, between 1,000 and 1,200 each day. A few camper spots are still available with full water and electric hookup, and primitive camping is also available. Walker says several food vendors are also on hand.
We have everything from ice cream to breakfast. You can get anything you need, anything you want. So we'll have a full variety of food.
Tickets are available at the gate and are $30 per person per day, or $80 for a full weekend pass. Mandolin Farms is located at 387 Owings Lane in Flemingsburg. Directions, a full lineup, and more information is available online at rfmfbluegrass.com. For Morehead State Public Radio News, I'm Leanne Akers.
Big spike hammer, Lord, it's busting my side. I've done all I can do to keep that woman. Still, she's not satisfied. Hey, hey, Delamay, why do you treat me this way?
The time is 4:48. You are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. Stay tuned. Coming up at 5 o'clock, it's the latest in national and international news coming your way on NPR's All Things Considered. Until then, Braxton Howard has been keeping an eye on your sports world. He's up in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR is provided by St. Clair Regional.
Hello, I'm Ricky Watts, a nursing director at St. Clair Regional. We are currently looking to hire empathetic, compassionate, registered nurses to join our team. Nursing is more than just a profession at St. Clair Regional. We have new RN rates and benefit packages, and we're growing. More information can be found at St. Clair Regional's website, st-clair.org.
Good afternoon with Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. Suddenly on the uptick, the Cincinnati Reds will bid for their fourth straight victory tonight at 7:05 when they complete their series with the Pirates in Pittsburgh. According to manager Brian Price, the key to the Reds' mini turnaround is simple. In those victories, they've received good efforts from their starting pitchers.
It's a completely different ballgame when you can manage a game from ahead. And I'm not just talking as a manager, I'm talking with the position players going out there and not having to dig themselves out of an abyss. And so it's been good to see. This is what we want to see. We want to see our pitchers, our starting pitchers are getting this opportunity. Take it and run with it.
2-2 Sal Romano will try to give the Reds another good start tonight. The Pirates will counter with 3-7 Chad Kuhl. Some scores from around the MLB this afternoon. Milwaukee leads St. Louis 2-1 in the seventh inning. The Rockies lead the Mets 3-2 in the fifth. And Arizona leads the Cubs 4-0 in the first inning. In searching for a replacement for the late Keith Prater, Round County High School Principal Ray Ginter says it's important that the school hire someone who will continue Prater's legacy.
And that's what we're looking for. You know, wins and losses, they're nice. But when the kids walk down the hallway with pride, those are the things that we look forward to. And those are the things that have been instilled by Keith's program.
In just his second year as Rounds coach, Prater led the Vikings to a 16th region title. He died last month after a battle with leukemia. Among the favorites to replace Prater could be his lead assistant, Rob Ward. The school wants to name a new baseball coach sometime next week. Quarterback is not the only position on offense where the Morehead State Football Eagles have a question mark. The Eagles need to figure out who will be their wide receivers. Only two veterans return at those spots with significant game experience. However, head coach Rob Tenure believes MSU has some good options there.
Jared Higginbottom had an outstanding spring. Jalen Washington, a transfer from Louisville that moved from defense to offense in the spring to play wide receiver, had an outstanding spring. Nathan Sames is probably going to move from inside receiver to outside receiver, and he really did some, he made some major progress in the spring as well. So we're going to be counting on some young guys there, some freshmen.
The MSU football team is in its first week of practices. The Eagles open with Kentucky Christian at home on August the 31st. Meanwhile, four members of the MSU football team have been named to the All-PFL team by the national media organization College Sports Madness. Senior cornerback Braylon Cooks, junior cornerback Braden Duncan, sophomore safety Wanye Tarver, and senior offensive lineman Kyler Corbett were all selected. Cook was on the first team, while Corbett and Tarver were tabbed to the second team, and Duncan was a third-team pick. Now nearly a week into preseason practices, the Kentucky football team is still missing a key player in the 2017 recruiting class. Lynn Bowden, a four-star athlete who was ranked as the 60th best player in the 2017 class and the fourth best player at his position, is still not eligible, but head coach Mark Stoops expects him to be soon.
Lynn's the only one that's not here. I expect him this week. Okay, so we expect him to be here shortly. Michael Nesbitt just got cleared, just got here. We do have E.J. Price is here, transfer from USC, and we're waiting on Lynn here in the next couple days. It's clearinghouse. It's academic eligibility.
Bowden has drawn comparisons to former Kentucky star and current Green Bay Packer Randall Cobb. He picked Kentucky over offers from Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan State, Michigan, and Oregon. He and the rest of the football Cats get the season started at Southern Mississippi on September the 2nd. With full contact drills now underway for his team, Round County football coach Kelly Ford is getting a chance to fully evaluate his players. Ford says he's now having the Vikings go through complete 11-on-11 scrimmages.
Really looking at our pieces and putting stuff together, and offensively and defensively, and special team.
The football Vikings will scrimmage Nicholas County a week from Friday at the EKC Gridorama in Flemingsburg. Fleming County's football team is looking to build on its banner 2016 season this fall. The Panthers went 8-4 a year ago, including a Class 3A playoff victory over Lawrence County. And Coach Bill Spencer thinks he's got another good ball club in the works.
Started several juniors last year, you know, so we've got several kids back this year. A couple that are rehabbing some injuries that haven't officially joined us for full go, you know, yet. But when they get back, they'll make us a little bit better. But I'm happy with our talent we have on the roster right now.
Among Fleming's key returners is quarterback Josh Crump. During his junior season, Crump passed for 2,300 yards and 26 touchdowns. He also rushed for 594 yards. Finally, in sports, Kentucky could become the host of two of professional golf's biggest tournaments. Ted Bishop, who was the president of the PGA of America in 2013 and 14, has called for Louisville's Valhalla Golf Club to be the official host of the PGA Championship each year and the official host of all domestic Ryder Cup competitions. Bishop cites the club's 480-acre property, the fact that it is already owned by the PGA, and the city's proven track record of hosting major events like the Kentucky Derby as reasons it would be the best host course. Golf legend Jack Nicklaus, who redesigned Valhalla in 2012, called it an interesting idea. That's it for sports. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Tickets are now available for Morehead State fall sports, including football, soccer, and volleyball. Home games begin August 13th for soccer and August 25th for volleyball. Football begins their season by hosting Kentucky Christian at 6 p.m. on Thursday, August 31st. More information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks whipsawed on the back of a report that the Russian investigation is intensifying, and the Dow Industrials did finish with a small gain, finishing up 9.86 at 22,026.10. And, of course, that is a new all-time closing high for the Dow. The S&P 500 was down 5.41 at 2472.16, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 22.3, finishing at 6340.34. New York Stock Exchange breadth was 4-3 in favor of losing stocks over winners. Shortly before the close, it was announced that Special Counsel Robert Mueller has impaneled a grand jury into the investigation in Russia's involvement in the U.S. election, and this actually sent the market to session lows, but the market did manage to recover some of those losses before the close. Earnings continued to be in focus. Yesterday, Tesla reported a smaller-than-expected loss and had very upbeat comments on future deliveries of automobiles, and this sent the stock up more than 6% in today's trading. Allergan, Global Payments, and Kellogg also posted quarterly results before the bell today. Allergan was up fractionally, and Kellogg was up over 4% as earnings came in better than expected. Wall Street also set its sights today on U.S. economic data. U.S. jobless claims were 240,000 versus expectations of 242,000. And, of course, the monthly report for non-farm payrolls released by the U.S. government will come out tomorrow before the opening. In the oil markets today, oil was backtracking a little bit from recent highs. It was down about 1.3%, finishing at $48.94 a barrel. Gold was down 0.3% at $1,274.30 an ounce. European markets were up slightly, with the Stock 600 up about 0.1%. Asian markets dropped, with the Nikkei down 0.25% and Shanghai down 0.3%. Among Dow stocks, the best performers were Pfizer and 3M. The worst performers were DuPont and McDonald's. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Stericycle and CF Industries, and the worst performers were AmerisourceBergen and Concho Resources. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down 64 cents at $62.77, Marathon Petroleum down 27 cents at $55.93, AEP up 26 cents at $71.19, AK Steel up a penny at $5.36, CSX up $1.13 at $49.27, and U.S. Bancorp is down 31 cents to finish at $52.68. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the city of Moorhead, a trail town community in eastern Kentucky and located near I-64 within the Daniel Boone National Forest, home to Moorhead State University, St. Clair Regional Medical Center, and Cave Run Lake. The city of Moorhead supports community livability, economic prosperity, educational enrichment, cultural outreach, and recreational engagement. Office is located at 314 Bridge Street and by phone at 784-8505 or online at moorhead-ky.gov.
Turning once again to a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening region, tonight, partly cloudy skies, lows around 68 degrees. Tomorrow, we'll see an 80% chance of thunderstorms, highs around 80 degrees. Tomorrow night, a 20% chance of rain. It'll be cooler, with lows in the mid-50s. On Saturday, sunny skies, highs in the upper 70s. That night, partly cloudy, lows around 59. On Sunday, mostly cloudy, highs around 83. That night, a 60% chance of showers and thunderstorms returning, lows in the mid-60s. And on Monday, a 60% chance of scattered thunderstorms, highs around 77. It is currently 84 degrees here in Moorhead.
That's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Meraz, Paul Hitchcock, Arlo Barnett, Braxton Howard, Sean Delaney, Chaz Jenkins, and Kyle Blankenbuehler. WUKY's Josh James also chipped in. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Arlo Barnett and all of the MSPR's news team, I'm Leanne Akers. For Morehead State Public Radio News, All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.